In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Amen. Blessed Feast of the Cross, brothers and sisters. On this third Sunday of the fast, we come and we bow down before the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in the Psalms, come and worship God and bow down before the footstool of his feet. And the Holy Fathers tell us the cross is the footstool of his feet. And as we just heard in the epistle to the Hebrews, we are to come boldly to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The throne of grace is the cross. So we come to the cross and we bow down and we beseech the Lord to have mercy on us. And most importantly, we humble ourselves. This is what that act of bowing down represents. This is what it shows, that we're humbling ourselves before the Lord. The cross is at the center of our life as Orthodox Christians. It's the center of our Lenten struggle. That's why we see the cross and bow down before the cross right in the middle of Lent, the middle Sunday, right? Exactly in the center of our Lenten journey. The cross is held up. We process it. We honor it because we remember that it's at the very heart of our lives as Christians. We can't struggle properly. We can't live properly apart from the reality of the mystery of the cross. What is this mystery? The Lord speaks of it in the words of the gospel that we heard today. It says, when he had called the people to himself and his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does it mean to deny ourselves? How can we deny ourselves? Are we denying that God made something good when he created us? No. God forbid. We're not denying the work of God's hands. To deny the self means to deny the fallen self, the ego. To deny the ego. To say, I'm not going to live for my ego. I'm going to live for God. Which means to live selflessly. So we are to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow Christ. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. And this, of course, is the logic of Christ. It's the logic of the gospel, which is the opposite of the logic of this world. This world tells us, go out and see and conquer. You know, see what you want and take it for yourself. Seize the day. Push other people down so you can have more. This is what this world tells us. It's the way of the ego. Do everything you can to prop up your ego, to make you feel good about yourself. And you put other people down in order to do that, and so on. But the Lord is saying you have to hate this world's life. You have to hate the life of this fallen world. And instead live for the real life, which is in Christ. And this is the life of carrying our cross, of bearing our cross for Christ's sake. We might think of these words, that we have to deny ourselves and we have to carry our cross, as heavy words. We might think of this as a heavy kind of life that the Lord is calling us to as Christians, as something oppressive, weighing us down, burdening us, you know. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. It's the hell of the ego that oppresses us, that burdens us, that carries us downward. It's the hell of the ego, of serving the ego constantly, of having the ego as our master. Father Silvio, this past weekend during the retreat that we had, spoke of this. He spoke of the fact that we have to constantly choose between the ego or between surrendering totally to Christ. And there's no third option. There's nothing in between. Either we're serving this master or we're serving the true master. Every situation in of our life, every decision that we have to make is a decision to serve one or the other. And it's in bearing our cross, denying the ego, and saying, Lord, I trust you totally, I surrender to you, thy will be done, that we find real freedom and real joy. We become light, not heavy. We become free, not oppressed. But it's serving the ego that makes us slaves. I want to tell you about the life of a man who has been an incredible hero for me in my life, an incredible inspiration, and that is Archdeacon Basil Reeves from Holy Trinity in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Can you all make some space back there? Make some space. I want to tell you about Archdeacon Basil. Archdeacon Basil was like another grandfather for me. When I got to know him, he was already in his 70s. But I want to begin early in his life to tell you about a particular experience. He was his name was Harold, but he went by Bill. Bill Reeves. And he grew up in southern New Mexico, Las Cruces, New Mexico. And when he was in his early 20s, it was around the time that World War II had broken out. And he volunteered to serve in the National Guard. And from there, he was called to serve in the Army. And he went, he was shipped out to England. And then from there, he entered France on D-Day. At the D-Day invasion of France. And so there he fought, and he became a tank commander under General Patton. And it was in that capacity that this story took place. As he was serving, actually, he went under General Patton to the Battle of the Bulge. And that's where this took place. So there had been relentless fighting. If you've studied anything about the Battle of the Bulge, you know that it was hideous, it was horrible, it just seemed to go on and on. And so Archdeacon Basil, Bill Reeves, who was the commander of this tank division, at one point he just snapped. He felt like he couldn't handle it anymore. And so there he was at the head of the column of tanks, and he stopped and he got out with just his pistol, and he just started walking out towards the German lines. He was waiting for them to just shoot him. But all of a sudden, he heard a voice. And the voice addressed him by a name. But he didn't recognize the name. Maybe it was Archdeacon Basil. That would have meant nothing to him at the time. Or maybe it was the name that we receive in the kingdom of heaven, the name that we don't even know yet, the perfect name. But in any case, he knew the voice was speaking to him, and he knew it was the voice of the Lord. And so the Lord said to him, he said his name, and said to him, you're not permitted to give up. You have many things left to do. Go get back in your tank. Archdeacon Basil said, yes, sir, and he went and got back in his tank. Later, the men said, that was incredible. When you got out in front of our enemies to rally us, you know, to give us hope and give us courage. That was incredible. What an incredibly brave thing you did. Archdeacon Basil, as far as I can tell, from that day forward, lived by that word from the Lord. It's not permitted to give up. And he became one of the least egotistical people I've ever met in my life. When we converted to Orthodoxy, there was a group of us in Santa Fe that became Orthodox and started Holy Trinity. And Archdeacon Basil at that time was about 75, he and his wife, Shemasi Marianne. And they had four sons and many grandchildren and many great-grandchildren, just a beautiful family. But at the age of 75, they became Orthodox. And Archdeacon Basil became my father's right-hand man. My father would describe him as the backbone of the parish. He was the strength of that community. Now, he wasn't ever particularly in the limelight. He wasn't a man of many words. He did very little that ever drew attention to himself. A few times my dad had to be out of town, and so as a deacon he led a service and my dad would ask him to preach. He wasn't a very good preacher. But that didn't matter because he preached by his life. I remember when we were building the new temple, and there were a lot of projects going on the property. One day I was there doing some kind of work, and Archdeacon Basil showed up. By then he was in his 80s. And he proceeded to get a shovel and start digging a trench. I don't even know what it was for. Probably nobody else knew that whatever needed to be done, but he knew and he just did it. He would be at church every Sunday morning before my father got there. He had gotten everything ready. And this was until he was about 90. It was a life of bearing the cross. It was a life of no egotism, no drawing attention to himself. His focus was simply never on himself, but rather it was on serving the Lord and serving other people. If there was something that needed to be done, he would be there helping. And for me, he was one of the greatest examples I've ever seen of just being a true Christian man. And when he was at his death, my father went to bring him communion. And, you know, he was weak, he was failing. And my father said to him, "Hang in there, Archdeacon Basil, hang in there." And he just looked at my father and said, "We are not permitted to give up." And he saluted him. That was how he lived his life. And this is how we're called to live. The cross teaches us to never give up, to never lose hope. Actually, it's egotism that teaches us to despair. It's precisely egotism. It's the ego that says, because there's some kind of pain, because there's some kind of sorrow, because somehow somebody's insulted me, undermined my authority, whatever it might be, then I begin to mope. I can't even imagine, if I try to imagine Archdeacon Basil ever moping, ever giving into, self-pity, I can't imagine it. The cross teaches us never to give up, but always to put our hope in Christ. And that's exactly the choice that Father Silvio spoke of. Either to keep trying to prop up the ego, to keep trying to please the ego, or to say, "No, Lord, I surrender to you. I do despair when it comes to saving myself. I have no hope in myself whatsoever. I have no egotistical hope that I'll be able to do it myself. Instead, I put all my hope, Lord, in you. Only you can do it in me." The ego leads to despair and teaches us to be terrorists. Terrorists. What do I mean by this? I don't get my way. I'm not feeling good, so I'm going to make sure that everybody else is feeling bad too. I'm going to make sure that if I don't get my way, that nobody will be happy. This is what the ego teaches us to do. The cross teaches us not to put ourselves at the center and simply to serve. So we're constantly faced with this decision, which is very simple. Either we serve the ego or we surrender to Christ. We trust him, we take up our cross and follow him. The ego puts us in hell and enslaves us to the vicious cycle of emotional turmoil and seeking to be liked, you know, seeking to be pleased, wanting to be vindicated, all of this. But the cross sets us free from all of that. May we, like Archdeacon Basil, find that true freedom in Christ. Amen.